Rabboisai, newsman, summer's man, so we're going to look at something new, literally, as in Chodosh. Chodosh is also in our Torah, but we're going to look at Chodosh over the next few days and see what Chodosh is, what the problem of Chodosh is and how we solve it. There are lots of things to discuss, but if we take as a basis, there'll be lots of things to discuss at each level. But if we start off as a basis and assume we're in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll assume that we're Bizman HaMikdosh. We'll discuss whether it's not Bizman HaMikdosh, or Dafka Bizman HaMikdosh, or even afterwards. We'll have to discuss whether it's Noig in Chutz Loretz. All these things will come up. We'll also discuss about where it's Noig, etc., etc. But as a basis, Bizman HaMikdosh, at the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, in Eretz Yisrael, if somebody planted a crop, and we're talking about only the five mini dogon, again, it's not nogea to maize, it's not nogea to millet, it's not nogea to rice, it's not nogea to buckwheat, it's not nogea to any other thing, just the five mini dogon, or chameshes mini dogon that we know, which is, I can't remember by heart, wheat, spelt, rye, oats, and
barley.
Yeah. So, if it's nogea to those five minim, and again, we can discuss why, but it's nogea to those five things that if somebody planted them, and they were nishrash, they took root, which again, how long does rooting take? But if they were nishrash, they took root before the 16th of Nisan, that means this year, right? Somebody planted wheat, or planted rye, or planted oats in Eretz Yisrael, before the 16th of Nisan, let's say he planted them on the 10th of Nisan. 10th of Nisan, a week before Pesach, he planted and they had taken root already. Then, with the Havor of the Korban Ha'Omer, on the 16th of Nisan, that became Yoshron. Okay, it was in the ground, it was rooted before Pesach, that became Yoshron. Anything that was planted, let's say immediately after, I imagine they weren't planting on Chol HaMoed, but anything that's planted immediately after Pesach is Chodosh. And if it's Chodosh, then it remains in the ground. You're not allowed to cut it, you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to do anything with it. It should remain in the ground, in theory, all the way through until next year after the Korban Omer. Which means that somebody who planted a crop, which they call a summer crop, in the spring, and it grew, and it could have been full height already in the summer, in theory you cannot cut it down until, you cannot reap, you cannot harvest it, until after the Omer, next year, which is a problem, because generally speaking, farmers have two crops. They have a spring crop, a summer crop, and they have a winter crop. And you have to clear the spring crop in order to make space for the winter crop. But if you planted it after Pesach, and it's Chodosh, then you're not allowed to cut it down. These are the problems, some of the issues that we have to discuss. Sorry? So I said as Hakdoma, right? We're going to assume at the moment that we're talking Bizman HaMikdosh in Eretz Yisrael. Does it apply in Chutz Loris? Does it apply Bizman HaChurban HaBayis? These are things that we will discuss. We're just talking allgemein, the halacha Bizman HaMikdosh in Eretz Yisrael, and then from there we'll go to other places. We'll discuss whether it's Negea Bizman HaZeh, whether it's Negea in this country. Somebody doing announcements?
Ronnie's not here.
Are you doing announcements? Has somebody got a poster?
Over there. Yeah,
what?
You've got all of them, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So we're in Northwest London, Sunday. Kofei Nisan, the 12th of April, Harav Pinchas Tzvi Adler Shlita, in Yom Zeyoima. Have you got a subject? In Yom
Zeyoima?
Yimei Ho'oime. This week's Torah has been sponsored by families Erach and Joseph, the initials Harav David, Berem Shloime Zalman, Olivar Sholem, and as always, the Nishmas, our founder, Reb Yosef Dov, Ben Reb Shimon, Michal Tzvi Itzkevich, Zichroni Levrocha. Shkoyach. Okay. Shos Avimori. As was mentioned, of course, the Shir should be Yes Neshama for our tyrant Dudi, Zichrono Livracha. Also, a very big Shkoyach to my dear Reb Josh for his incredible Havatzas HaTorah. He should have the Koyach to be able to continue this incredible institution and only see great Hatzlocha and the Zichrono Shel Baishni.
Amen.
So, we're moving now from the focus on Pesach, Avodah that we have over Pesach, into the days of the Omer, focusing more now on the Avodah that we have to do during these days of Omer. And it's upon us to analyze a little bit what is the Avodah that we have to do during these days, the Yemosa Omer. So the way I want to enter into this sugya, our Avodah, these days of Omer, perhaps by focusing on two very interesting halachas that apply to Sfiras HaOmer brought in Simin Tov Peites, Sifalim Shulchan Aruch. And the first is, U'mitzvah akol echad lispor ba'atzmoy. Every individual has to count Omer himself. Some Rishonim learn it means not the Beis Din, it's a mitzvah on every individual to count. Others, Mishabur bring, learn that it teaches us that we're not Yoitza through your Omer, through Shemeir Ka'ina. You literally have to count the Omer yourself. And this is a very strange halacha. All other halachas of Dibur, all other mitzvahs of Dibur, can be Yoitza Shemeir Ka'ina. And here, special mitzvah kol echad lispor ba'atzmoy, to count himself. What could the significance be behind that halacha? One has to count the Omer himself. And immediately after that, Shulchan Aruch brings Ritzorich Lisper Mu'umud. You have to count standing up. Also, a strange halacha. What could the significance behind that be? That one has to count on one's own, not rely on someone else, not rely on Shemir Koina, and that one should count standing up. Second Ha'ara, very interesting. We know during this time of year, the terrible, terrible tragedy of the Misa, of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So it's very, very hard to get to the bottom of what was really behind that tragedy. But one nekuda I'd like to focus on, and that is, why this time of year? We know that this time of year is a tremendously elevated time of year, an uplifted time of year. The Ramban in Parshas Emor tells us that Chazal call Shavuos and Atzeres, because Shavuos is the culmination of Pesach. And the days in between days of, like Chol HaMoed, says Ramban. It's days of Chol HaMoed, it's a very, very elevated time of year, time of year of tremendous growth, tremendous progression in our Avodas Hashem. And this should be the time of year which becomes a time of Avelus, where such a tragedy happened. What is it about this time of year, perhaps, which was Tovea, the Din, which brought about this, the Misa of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva? And then the third Nekuda I'd like to focus on is very interesting comparison we find that a number of Meforshim point out, the Maral points out, even the Marshal in Sechas Rosh Hashanah says the same thing, that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the time of Pesach, when we bring the Korban Oimer, so the Korban Oimer on Pesach was barley, was Sa'irim, which is a Meichel Behema, an animal food. And then on Shavuos, you bring the Shtei Alechem, and that is Chitin, which is human, Michael Odom. And these Mefarshim, Aral, the Mashah, point out that at the time of Pesach, Sias Mitzrayim, we were only fitting, it's a Moshel with Doima to animals. It's brought out by the fact that the Korban at that time, the harvest at that time, it starts with the harvest of barley, which is an animal food, and then Shavuos time, we move on to the harvest of Chitim, of Michael Odom. And there's a comparison of Klal Yisrael to Behema at the time of Pesach, with only fitting, so to speak, for Michael Behema. And when it comes to Shavuos, we've already grown to become an Odom, and we're fitting for Michael Odom. What's this all about, this that we're compared at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, time of Pesach, to animals, fitting for Michael Behema, and now, as we approach, as we come Mitzvah Hashem to Shavuos, we should become fitting for Michael Odom. What's the meaning of that? So perhaps focus on these three auras and then try and address them perhaps backwards. Why Why Michael Behema, Michael Odom? What's the meaning of that? Moving from the level of Behema to a level of Odom. What could be perhaps the din of during this time of year which brought the Misa of Talmid Rebbe Akiva? And what could be a significance behind the two halachas in Sfiras Ha'Ema of needing to count on one's own and count standing up? It's very fascinating how the parshias at this time of year are literally the nyonim of the growth that we're supposed to go through during this time of year. How Shmini, Tazria, Metzora are the parshias of Tumah and Tahara. All the halachas of Tumah and Tahara come out of Mitzrayim, the lowest levels of Tumah. We have to be Metayar ourselves. We have all those halachas throughout these three parshias. And then Achrei Mos Kedoshim and Emor is the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Those three parshias full of the nyonim of Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. We go from Tumah, Metayar ourselves, and we're ready to be Mekadosh ourselves. And then Habakkuk Kosei and Bamidbar is the Hachana for Har Sinai and for Matan Torah. So it's almost to me a raya Torah min Hashemayim. It comes out to be that these parashas are really, really the inyonim and the sugyas of Tara and then Kedusha and then preparation for Matan Torah. So focusing on this coming week's parasha now, Tazria Mitzayra, this week's parasha, there is an incredible nes. A nes which is of the same proportions as Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Tremendous nes. In fact, the Rambam, as Yad HaChazaka, calls this nes an ois and a pele. And the Moreh Nevuchim, he calls this nes a moifus. Also the nes in this week's parasha, that's the tremendous miracle of Tzaras. Of Tzaras. Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim says it's similar to the miracle of the Mei Soita. Tzaras and the Mei Soita was an intervention of Hashem, literally in day-to-day life. Suddenly there's the manifestation of a tzaras, which is the person spoke Lashon Hara, he did one of those averis that bring tzaras, and a tzaras develops on the house, and he goes through the halachas, and if he does tshuva, it goes away, and everything's okay, and if he doesn't, then it progresses to his clothes, and if he still doesn't do tshuva, it progresses onto him himself, and then he has to go to the kohen and follow the instructions, and if he does, and he goes through all the halachas, and he does the tshuva, then it will get better. If not, it gets more serious. A very clear nes, the lashon of the Rambam, right at the end of Hilchos Tumah Tzaras, character Zayin Halacha Yud, says, "Einoy mimin hogoy shel olam." This is not a natural occurrence. Ella ois upele hoya biyisrael kedei lazhira meloshen har. As I said in the Moreh Nevuchim, Chel Gimel and Zion, he calls it a moifus. It's a moifus. Tzaras is a moifus. The Sefer Chinuch and the Mitzvah Tzaras, Mitzvah Kuf Samuch Tes, tells us that the Tzaras is a tremendous manifestation of Hashem's Hashgocha. In its own right, it's a very, very interesting Chinuch where he goes through the different types of Hashgochas Hashem that there is, and different groups, different people say about the Hashgochas Hashem, and then he gives his mahalach in the Hashgachas Hashem, and he says that you see from Tzaras that at least on people and on Yidden, there's a very, very high level of Hashgachas Hashem. And that's why when someone develops a Tzaras, he has to go to the Kohen and follow the advice of the Kohen, the advice of the Kohen, pishbush maisav, examining his ways, yusur me'olavaneke, can be removed. Hashem is constantly watching over a person. He'll see the person's tshuva and cure him. He says, "Kol inyan hasgerin elol." This whole inyan of being locked away because of the tzaras, yoyre hashkachosi baruchu. It shows the hashkacha of Hashem al kol darke ha'odom achas l'achas. Hashkacha protest individually on each individual hashkacha of Hashem. So we see in the Rishonis of the Rambam, this is a neis, an ois, a pele, a moifus, the shoinus of the chinuch, it's a hashkocha of Hashem. Okay, so that's what we have in this week's parasha, tremendous nisim. We can't be focused on the nisim over Pesach. It's no less now when we enter into Tazir Mitzvah, this tremendous neis to be misboining a bit into the ois, the moifus of Tzaras. But what is the root cause of those averus that bring about the tziras. So it's very interesting. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Dov the Melech said in Perek Samachay, Lecha dumia tehillah. To you, Hashem, silence is a praise. Lecha dumia tehillah. Silence is a praise. What's the meaning? Silence is a praise to Hashem. So Rabbi Vigdamil explains, he quotes a pasuk in Kehelet, Perek Hey, at the beginning, pasuk Aleph. Al tevar al picha velibcha. Don't be too quick to speak. Al yemaher lahoitzi dov lefnei elokim. Don't rush to speak. Ki ho elokim bashamayim va'ata al ha'aretz. Shem is in shamayim, you're on the earth. Al kein yu dvorecha ma'atim. Your words should be few. He says, imagine you're in a room with a very, very important person. A prime minister, a president, or havdil, a god la'dor. Imagine in the room with Rabbi Yashiv, Chaim. He said, you won't say a word. And if you do have to say some words, every word is going to be measured. Be very, very careful what you're going to say, if at all. So, if a person is aware that he's in the presence of Hashem, ki olekim bashamayim va'ata la'aretz, al kein yu dvorecha ma'atim. Your words are going to be few. You have a constant awareness of the presence of Hashem. You're very careful about how you speak. And the person has an urge to say something. The only thing which can really hold them back is an awareness of the presence of Hashem. And that is l'cha dumia tehillah. That's why silence is actually a praise of Hashem. Why does a person come to say shvachim, to give praise to Hashem? Because he has akara, recognition of the existence of Hashem. Well, if the recognition of the existence of Hashem, the amitus of the mitzias Hashem, brings a person to hold back words, which is a very difficult thing to do, but he has such a clear recognition of the mitzias Hashem that he holds back things which it's a geshmak, a shmuz, and he has such a desire to say something, and no, there's a rebbeinu shleilu, mitzias Hashem, and he holds himself back. That's the greatest praise to Hashem. L'cha dumia tehillah, the tremendous praise of Hashem is dumia, is silence. And by being able to remain silent when one really wants to say something, has an urge to say something, but because he's aware, elikim bashamayim v'at ala oretz, that's a tremendous praise of Hashem. That's the pasuk tehillah, l'cha dumia tehillah. So really if a person is not so aware of the presence of Hashem, that's what brings about the avera of lashon hara, because he's free to say what he wants, because he doesn't focus on the fact that that Hashem is there. In fact, the Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chovetz says this is really the shayrish of all averas. He says in his drasha to Shabbos Hagadol, he says the following words: the kol shlita sayetzahara, the whole power and control of the Yetzirah, it comes mitzad hachoshas hashgocha, denying, not admitting to the hashgocha of Hashem. U'mashkiach min ha'odam ha'munah zoist, when a person forgets their munah in the existence of Hashem, in the hashgocha of Hashem, that's what brings to chet, ki lulei kein. If not for that, if a person would be constantly aware, im ha'yom odam meisim liboy, pay attention, beli hefzik, constantly, without interruption, Shehu Yisbarach Oymed Olav, the Hashem is standing over him, V'roya B'maisav, and seeing his deeds, Lo Yehoyachay Tekanal, a person would never come to sin. So really, it comes out that Tziras is literally a Midah Keneged Midah. What brings about Chatoim, and it's specifically Lashon Hara, we saw in that Pasuk in Keheles, is not being aware of the Hashgachas Hashem, not being aware of the existence of Hashem. And that's exactly what the Chinuch and the Rambam said, the punishment of Tziras is. Tziras is a very, very strong reminder of the Hashgachas Hashem, of the fact that Hashem intervenes and is involved in the world. It's directly related. Now, how far, to what level can one come in awareness of the existence of Hashem and the Hashgachas Hashem? How far can this go? What's the hasoga one can get to in Mitzias Hashem and Hashgachas Hashem? And the answer is that it's endless. I said now over Yom Tov, Avot wanted to suggest. It says Vayar Yisrael es hayoda gedoyla, and the pasuk says Ve'aminu b'Hashem uv'moisha avdoi. So the Yidden saw the Yod HaGedolah, and they came to an Emunah. So the question is that if they saw the Yod HaGedolah, so that's a Yediyah. It's a clear knowledge of the existence of Hashem. They saw Yari Saleti Yod HaGedolah. So where's there room for Emunah? Emunah means you have to believe in something that you don't know for an absolute fact, but you have an Emunah in it. They already saw Vayari Saleti Yod HaGedolah. So then, see, the Shalom says that when a person comes to a hasaga, to a grasp, in Yediyas Hashem, he has no doubt, it's a fact, Yediyas Hashem, he then gets an emunah that there's something even higher in what I can grasp of Hashem. So, Vayar Yisrael, Siyod Gedolah, now they have an emunah that there's something even higher. In the morning, when we put on tefillin, we say, Ve'irasech li be'emunah, ve'yudatas Hashem. First we say emunah, and then we say, yudatas a bit. In over there, we say Vayar Yisrael, which is Yediyah first, and then Vayaminu. And then, but we pon tefillin, so Rastechli Bemuna, first Emuna, and then Yodat Hashem. So the wrong Gurvitz at the Daf Yomi Siyam, not the last one, but the one before that, he spoke about this Vayrastechli, and he said that the pattern over here, Vayrastechli B'tzedek of a Mishpat, B'chesed of a Rachamim, Rastechli Bemuna, Yodat Hashem, he said there's a pattern. And the pattern is that Ve'rastechli, you marry yourself to me, you ma'aris, you bind yourself to me, b'tzedek u'b'mishpat, in doing what's correct, then Hashem responds. That's how he learned it. That chesed v'rachamim is Hashem responding to the tzedek u'mishpat that we do. If you act b'tzedek u'b'mishpat, then Hashem will respond b'chesed v'rachamim. And then it goes further, rastechli be'emunah. If you bind yourself to me with emunah, says Hashem, then I'll respond by allowing the emunah to become a yediyah, yodat es Hashem. I'll allow it to become so clear, your emunah, that there'll be no doubt whatsoever. It will develop from an emunah to a yediyah. So I thought perhaps we're putting these two things together. You have a certain yediyah of Hashem, no doubt about the existence of Hashem at a certain level. Then says the Nesiv Shalom, Yuchat, there's a higher level of Hasogas Hashem, which I haven't yet got that grasp of Hashem, but I have an emunah that there's something higher. Ah, verastikli be'emunah, you're binding yourself to me with an emunah that there's a higher grasp of Hashem. Yodat es Hashem. Hashem says, okay, I'll allow that to become a yediyah, and you'll have a higher level of grasp of Hashem as a yediyah. Ah, you have a higher level of grasp of Hashem, which is now a yediyah. Vayaminu, then you have there's something even higher. You now have an emunah, you have an emunah, something even higher. Hashem says, Yadat Hashem, allow that to become Yediyah. And it goes on and on and on. Obviously, Ein Soif, Znitzchi, the levels of emunah and Yediyah Hashem that a person can come to. But there is a litmus test where one can check where he's up to in his emunah and in his Yediyah Hashem. Fascinating litmus test, which the Lev Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Lopian, actually in Parsha Shmini, tells us. He says, we know the Mesid Shon says, an Odom is loy nivra es ha-Odom, ele lehis anag al Hashem. Loy nivra, Odom ele lehis anag al Hashem. To have an oimik, to enjoy kaviyachal Hashem. What does that mean? So, Rav Eliyahu explains that a person can have an emunah sichli, an intellectual emunah, an intellectual yediyah of Hashem, emunah, yediyah, intellectually, in his seichel. There's a completely different type of emunah, an emunah chushis, an emunah which is in the lev, emunah which permeates the whole being of the person, where he feels it in his murgoshes, the Lev Elio calls it, in his emotions, in his feelings, he feels the emunah, and he feels drawn to Hashem. And that's an avodah, to go from just having an emunah sichli, whether it's a avodah of limud musa, avodah of chassidus, negina, many different approaches of how to develop the emunah sichli into an emunah chushis, into emunah in the lay. But Rabbi Elia says it's a very, very important avodah to do, because if a person only has an emunah sichli, but in his lay he's pulled to other things, when there's a fight between emunah, between seichel and lay, usually the lay is going to win out, says Rebellion. We have to develop our emunah sichli into an emunah in the emotions, in the lev. What's the litmus test to be able to tell whether it's in the lev or not? Is whether a person, says Rebellion, enjoys his mitzvahs. If a person has a geshmak, an oinik, this anag al Hashem, if a person has an oinik, an enjoyment in a mitzvah, in a tefillah, in learning, in a chesed, in he has an oinag, if he's doing it because it's a chiyuv and it's hard, and but he has to push himself to do it, he might have an emunah sichli, but it's not an emunah chushis. If he feels drawn to his mitzvahs, drawn him, he looks forward to a davening, to a mitzvah, that's already entered his, at the highest of levels, says Rebbe Elia, he's not even drawn to Olam Hazeh anymore, to the Geshmak, and that he doesn't have a Cheshek anymore for Gashmias and Yoni Olam Hazeh. But on the spectrum of where a person's up to, it depends how much is he pulled to Ruchnias. He brings the Shalom at the bottom of the Leiv Eliyahu, brings that Shlomko Mizvil said that Yerusoy, when he was young, when he would put on tefillin in the morning, he would experience a hana v'tainug k'moy bal taiva godol be'eith milu ta'avosei. Like a tremendous bal taiva would enjoy indulging in a taiva of Olam Hazeh, so would Reb Shlomko from Zvil enjoy have a hana and a tainug when he was putting on tefillin. Shlomko finishes, noir v'nifla. Oh, so we see from here that you could, one can rise high and higher in his levels of emunah and his yedias Hashem till it enters into his leiv, into his murgoshes, until he's living very, very ruchniistic. A story happened with Yankel Galinsky in the year 1939. He was a bocher learning in Bialystok in the Nevada Yeshiva, and his Roshiva, Avraham Yaffin, had to send a certain message to Warsaw. So Yankel was very short and young looking. Thought he would be unobtrusive, would be kedai to send him. So he gave him money for the train ticket with this message to go to Warsaw. He comes to the train station and the train is full, the third class and the second class completely full. There's only room in the first class. But he only had enough money to pay for one stop, to get one stop in the first class. But in true Nevadic style, so you do as much as you can and then you rely on the Rabbeinu Shlomo, and we see what happens after that. So he paid for the journey in the first class for the first stop. He gets on the train, and it's very interesting, never seen anything like that, comfortable seats, and they had like radios with earphones that you could put on. And he was just observing what's going on. He noticed a gentleman sitting facing him, put the earphones on, and was sitting listening, and then the train started to move. And then they heard some music coming from the next carriage. In the next carriage there was like a peasant playing folk tunes on his accordion, and everybody from the first class slowly emptied out to go to the other carriage to listen to this music. And that was just Bianco himself, a bocher, and this gentleman with his earphones in the first class carriage. So the conductor came around and poked his head into the first class carriage, and he said, "There's somebody playing music over here. Do you two want to come and listen to the music?" And Bianca just carried on sitting there. And this man saw that the conductor was saying something, but he couldn't exactly. So he took off his earphones to hear what the conductor was saying. So I said, "There's some music over here. Do you want to come and listen? There's a peasant playing folk tunes on his accordion." And the gentleman said, "Are you crazy? I'm listening over here to the Paris Symphony Orchestra. And I should take it off and stop listening and go to hear, listen to some peasant playing folk tunes on his accordion. It doesn't come in." Fine. Something happened on the tracks. The train couldn't go further anyway. Turned around, went back to the original station. Bianco went back to the yeshiva. Rami Afan said, "So quickly you came back. You managed to do the message." He said, "No, actually I didn't manage to do the message, but I had a very, very kedai journey because it was the journey that I did, explain to him what happened, I learned a lesson for the rest of my life." And that is, when you're focused on something higher and you're enjoying the Paris Symphony Orchestra, you're not interested in the base sort of the enjoyments of this world, of some peasant playing his folk tunes. And that's the insight that Rebbe Elia is telling us. When a person rises level after level and starts to enjoy this anagal Hashem, to enjoy the real enjoyments that one can get to in life and the ruchnias, then he's not pulled anymore to the gashmias. There's a whole spectrum of where a person up to in his magic. And with this, we can come back and answer our questions. We'll start with the third one. What's this dimyon that we have of Klal Yisrael to animals at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Odom at the time of Shavuos and Matan Torah? What is it within a person which enjoys and feels pulled to the Hanos Olam Hazeh, to the Taivas Olam Hazeh? And that is the Nefesh HaBahamis.
It's the animalistic side of a person. This is the Loshon of the Marsha in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin. If it says to me Mitzrayim, Shniku Chamorim, Mitzrayim are called Chamorim, called animals. There's no Ruchnis, there's nothing higher in Mitzrayim. It's just the base desires of Oyin Mazet. V'ho Yisrael gam kein below Mitzvah. At that stage, Klal Yisrael were also not shy to anything higher. They were without Mitzvahs. Lo Yiho Yeruim Rak L'Maychel Behem. On the level of Bali, Maychel Behem, Shein Sa'irim. Ad Svira Zayin Shvuz. Till they go through the growth process of the Sviras Zayin Shvuz. Shehuchnu Az L'Deya. That's the key word in Marsha. They become prepared for Deya, for Das, which is the higher levels within a person. She may be Michael Chittim, then they already bring Michael Chittim, which is a Michael Odom, she oz kiblu atoyer, and then we cover the Torah. Okay, maybe Shtei Alechem, mi Chittim. That's why the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos is from wheat. And he quotes the Gemara in Perek Ben Sayer Moira, where the Gemara says that when a child starts to eat wheat-based products, that's when it starts to recognize its parents and be able to call Abba, call Imma. Wheat brings das to a person. And therefore, Hochel Chemish Bakomash Uktir Sa'ir Michael Behema, the process began with the Kovna Oimer, which was the Michael Behema, but then Tisbru Chemishim Yoim Adavos, Shtei Alechem, Shabom and Achitim, we count the 50 days, go through the Avoid of the Oimer, and we come to a level of Chitim where a person already has das, the Kabul Day of Chochmas Atayr, to be able to develop our das, our awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And actually the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Ches, says, if a person wants to choose to be an Odom Be'emetz, Tzorech Lemisha Yivchal Yis Odom Be'emetz, Loi Behema V'toya Odom Tumunosei, not just an animal in human form. If a person doesn't develop his Das, and just remains the Nefesh HaBahamis, his animalistic side, then he's a Behema B'toya Odom Tumunosei. He looks like a person, he's a form of a person, but he's animalistic. So what should he do? He should make every effort, Yosem Kolish Tadlusi, the Chasa Kol Tzorchi Achemim, Mimayach, Nomishkun, Nomishkun, Vakat, to try and rise above all the base desires of this world, the Kol Shara Midas, and Shachas Acha Hatayva, Vakas, with the Avishmem, he should be embarrassed of all those low, base type of Midas. Yosem Ahem, Madregas, and Nash, he should focus on the Madregas of his Nefesh. So at the time of Yisrael Mitzrayim, we were animalistic. There was nothing Ruchni about Klal Yisrael. We had an avoider now throughout the Oymer to develop our das, our awareness, our idea of Hashem, and rise to a level of becoming, as the Rambam there said, Odom Be'emes. That answers that question. What's the significance of starting as a Behema and ending as an Odom? This is where we're growing, developing, to becoming the true Odom, Odom Be'emes, as the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says. Awareness and living with Hashem, and as Rabbi Elie says, to enjoy. Begin to really enjoy this with a tainug and a hanor, our ruchnius. And maybe we can understand with that why the Talmid Rebbe Akiva were tiver, a din was tiver, they should die dafka at this time of year. The Rebbe Volba in his Ali Shor says, when is a person mechabed others? When he feels a covered of himself. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Eizer hu mechubed, ha mechabed zabrius. Someone has a self-respect, then he respects others. When does a person develop self-respect? A person realizes he's steiging from being animalistic to becoming a true Odom, that there will always be a sipuk, a satisfaction of having become an Odom Be'emes, a person who enjoys his mitzvahs, enjoys his Torah, who has a becoming a true person, he has a self-respect, he's a mechubad. If he's a mechubad, then he's a mechabad, Esabrius, Mechabed Zelazet. So although intellectually they were the Gedolei Olam, they were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, but it seems it was lacking in this avoida, in the development of becoming people, self-respecting people, the true Odom Be'emes. It seems that misses the time of year of that avoida, and it wasn't happening. That was Tovea Adin on them, that they didn't have a right to go towards Matan Torah, because they weren't becoming, they weren't developing themselves into being the Odom Be'emes, who's a person who automatically Memele is Mechubad, and therefore Mechabad others. And that wasn't happening, so they didn't have the right to go towards Matan Torah, and they died in this time of year. And finally, these two interesting halachas, first of all, that you have to count yourself, well, if the moment in the day when we focus on this Avoida, and we ask ourselves, where were we up to in becoming an Odom Be'emes, and becoming a person who has Deah, the Yedias Hashem, Emunah, enjoy this Anagal Hashem, when do we ask ourselves where we're up to in this process of going from behemoth to other. At the moment, when we count the oimer, that's not something we can rely on someone else to do. This is a very personal avoda, which a person has the significance, perhaps, in needing to count oneself, check on oneself, where am I up to in this avoda of development. And finally, this other interesting halacha that we have to stand when we're saying so. At one level, it's to bring out the chashivas, ezehu mechubot, the chashivas of becoming an odom. This is a mitzvah which one stands up, so to speak. We're standing up for ourselves. This is a time when we're developing into becoming an odom, a certain chashivas to this mitzvah, more so than other mitzvahs, we have to stand. But also, perhaps we can add the kriyok at the end of Parsha Shmini says, why is it that all insects and animals lie flat and the head is the same level as the rest of the body, as a human stands upright, to bring out this point that a person, although he's also animalistic and he's chatzi gashmi, ein ha'odam ha'ilich ala arba. Why doesn't a person walk, says the kriyok, on all four? Ki chetzi gashmi v'chetzi ruchni, pon alamala. He's chetzi ruchni, he stands up. It shows that he's, although he's based on this world and he has a nefesh of hamas, but also he's chetzi ruchni, and that's what we're becoming during this time of year. We're developing ourselves from being from our level of nefesh Bahamas to becoming the roi for the Michael Odom, to become a person who's at least chetzi ruchni. So it's a dafka say, do this mitzvah in that standing position, which signifies the fact that a person is rising higher, is rising to a ruchni yisdika level. We should be zoicha to achieve the avoda that is so incumbent upon us at this time of year, and with that we should be able to go towards Matan Torah this coming Shavuos Habo Aleinu in the Torah.
Yeah, I'll give you the plants. Yeah, some colors.